in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Like we said, we actually started the question and answer last week, because the question that our papa raised last week, which has to do with, what was it again, family planning. When I got to him, the Lord said, you should tell, and this is what is the reason why we actually have this series. Remember how we started the series? People ask questions, why we started the series? People ask questions on this, and we say, hey, wait a minute, before we start answering this pack of questions, we need the basics. I didn't know what I was saying. I just felt led by the Lord to suggest that. And he said, well, okay, so, and it looked like, and the Lord showed him that, well, you are sucked in. The authority to preach things like this. I was not the best person. I was not the oldest person. I was not the most married person. So you see, praise the Lord. Many of these my junior brothers were married before me. Amen. So even junior brothers were married before me. Praise the Lord. So, but I, when God put something in your mind, you say it out, and I say, well, that's what I say. I didn't intend to be the one to preach it. And then the Lord told me that, well, you are something, you have no way to escape. Then before I knew it, you know, by the saying, but because you are going to present, I said, oh, wait a minute, I couldn't say no. Praise the Lord. So that is how it all happened. Now, the question that I want to, the Lord said, you should be giving the what the Lord called the ideal. That is why we are gathering. We are not ideal. That is, we that are Christians, we are want to be like Christ, isn't it? That's our goal. So that's why he said, give the goal that he has for us. And we should be pursuing that goal. That is all God is requiring from us. When people are no more pursuing the goal that is set for us, then we have given up being a Christian. Period. Because what is our goal here? I want to be like Jesus. And he said, we shall be like him. Anyone that has this hope in himself, purify himself. So everything we are talking about, the relationship issues, is telling us this is his plan that he's giving to us. Whether it is divine love, he's saying it's divine love, not the love we think of. Whether it is humility, he's saying it's some kind of humility. So we should be always being not towards that, not towards. See, this is the direction we are going. When you are going towards a city, and the city is this way north, of course there will be some time when you have to, the road goes this way and goes that way, but as long as you know that the compass says you should keep going heading north. So that is the goal. He said a goal before and said, this is the ideal. As long as we are heading north towards that ideal, God is satisfied. And that is what we should be shooting at. Praise the Lord. Now, as I want to address the question again, when I was answering that question, I said, I cannot give any suggestion, but Papa was asking that, what is your recommendation in how on this family planning issue, because we are talking about the romance part of it. And the Lord told me that this is his own idea, and I'm going to tell you the idea that God said. Is the, when you say, the situation between husband and wife, say they want to have romance, and this one says no, and we say how often is often, and so on. This is the issue of public planning. What is the, when should we not do it, when should we do it, and so on. That's the question that was raised. And the Lord said, why did we forget about the abstinence? If we tell those who are not married, and if we believe, I expect those who are not married, that they are to abstain until they are married. Not so. Then why do we say, well, the spouse who does not want to do it this time, and you cannot have that self-control and do the abstinence until you are ready or is ready? So he said that is his perfect ideal. The idea is that, and the Lord reminded me this, but I thought about this verse, but I'm going to point that right now in a moment. The idea is abstinence. Until you are ready. I mean, if you have to be fighting on this and that, show that you are not controlling, also self-control. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24, let somebody read it. Because that is the idea he has shared for us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Just in line with the question that you have answered, what do you recommend? How do we control this? You don't want to do this, you want to do this, you don't want to do it. How do we control ourselves? The Bible said, God said, if idea is absence, whatever other methods is permissive will of God, but idea is happening, whether you are married or well, when you are married and you look as if that's the license to just do it as you want, and you are fighting on whether you want, she doesn't want, she wants, she doesn't want. Abstinence is what you have to begin to think of. Okay, and Ephesians 5:24 said what?
Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so does the wife.
That's not, is that Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24? They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections and lusts. That's what it says. Let me see what verse is that. Well, I wrote the wrong one now. The Bible says, they that are Christ, and we that are Christ, have crucified the flesh with all its affections and lusts. And what does that feeling is telling us? That is, if we are Christ, the flesh that is dictating, that wants us to insist on doing these things, and we cannot control ourselves, should have been crucified. The affections and the Lord should have been crucified. And say, well, I can't abstain because I just have to do it. Like I said, somebody said, if you won't do it, I'm going to go look for a prostitute. I say, well, where is the self-control anymore? Where is the abstain? That's what we're going to change. But that is the ideal. Every other method that we're using is put in light of the Word of God, and let's always shoot towards that ideal. That's how I'm going to say about that. But now, the part, the Bible verse that God said, don't forget to say this, is what I'm going to point out now. Remember why we are gathered in the end time message. Remember why we are gathered in the end time message. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and see our one of our the heroes that we are trying to emulate. Verse 5. Somebody read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. I was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Now, Enoch is an hero that we all talk about. We want to go in the rapture. As an example of somebody that has experienced this thing, and it's a level of faith that we want to walk with God. Now, there's a Bible verse that the Lord has always put upon my heart about Enoch in the book of Genesis when it was mentioned about Enoch. That I have always thought about it, and this is what the Lord just reminded me of again, just to make us to know why we are gathered, why we are saying we are the end time, and why we are saying we are trying to be the first fruits unto God. Not so. The Bible said, when he was leaving the genealogy of all these old men, in Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, you may look at other Bible interpretations and may not be interpreted this way. But in the King James Version, when I was waiting upon the Lord many years ago, in many of 21 days and so on fasting, the Lord shined a light on that after. The connotation of that after made me to say, Lord, are you telling me that after Enoch has had all his children, he actually zeroed in on following the Lord? And what we are talking about of whether I want to move up higher in faith, I want to become like Elijah the prophet. Elijah went without seeing death, Enoch went without seeing death. After he begat Methuselah and all his children, shows something like he began to practice, to pursue after the Lord, which may entail him to begin to do perhaps abstinence, self-control, like we are talking about. So if you want to go in the rapture, we have to know that we have to do some of those things that we must be able to self-control. Because what God is talking about, why he's not saying he wants us to be Enoch, just to go into that, because people, some churches, some religions thought to be perfect, you must be like Jesus, never married. God said, no, I didn't say that. That's why they started the nuns in some of those religions. But God said, no, that's not what he's going to take us away. He gave us an example of Enoch. He had wife and he had children. They said, after the guy met his children and his children, he walked with God. God put that coronation and shine a light on him and said, peace, self-control, God is talking about. And he that cannot rule his own spirit, the Bible has said many, many things about that. So when you begin to say self-control, that is one of them. In the sexual part, you've got to have that self-control. You must master that self-control to walk with God. Does not mean complete. When God wants you to be complete, he will tell you. But self-control is just the same thing. You say, well, we can't do it because we are no more this, we don't want to do this, and this, well, but how do you then choose that thing? Or we have to go and do it this method of the world. I don't think choose that thing. That's what God is telling us. But he's saying self-control is the fruit of the spirit that he's going to expect for those who are going to walk with him, like Enoch. So that's what I'm pointing out in that, in answer to the question to our Papa was asking, that what is your recommendation? Instead of husband and wife fighting on those family planning issues. Praise the Lord. Now that's just about it. Now let's go to the questions that I have here, and we want now, when we want to answer these questions, any of the brethren that have opinions on these issues to present that opinion to answer. I have a question that was almost 5 questions here. I'll come to that, so let's start with this one. What is the word of God on finance? That is, should spouses have one purse, or should each keep each or our money separate? No, we didn't talk much on finance, we just mentioned it. It could be a bone of contention in household. But this is a good question. And I will always try to point us to the ideal, and then, but how do we work it out? We are not ideal yet. What is the processes of doing it? Anybody, any of the seniors can even share on that. But let me point to John chapter 17, verse 9 and 10. John chapter 17, verse 9 and 10 will be something that we can meditate on as far as what is the idea when we say we are saints of the Most High God. This is the John chapter 17, is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this prayer he mentioned, and we also know that he said, Christ is the head of every man, and the head of Christ is God. And that's John chapter 17, verse 9, he said, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Verse 10 said, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Well, that Bible verse alone is saying, Christ is saying, all that belongs to the head, God belongs to him, and all that belongs to him belongs to the Father. And if we bring that and translate that to ourselves, we say Christ is the head of every man, the head of the woman is man. You can also say, well, all that are mine are thine. Well, of course, all that Christ has is ours. You believe that? I mean, that's what the Bible says. However, we are not using everything. We just have, up by potential, we own these things. But why did I pray for that dead man who didn't rise up? All this power belongs to me, but I'm not using it, so I don't know how to use it, or I have not been privileged to use it yet. So that's where where we begin to meditate on those things. Before you say, well, all that is mine, but I'm not using all these things yet. I don't have the access to it. Why? Why is Christ not doing what I say he should do? When I command this thing to happen, it's not happening. So those are all the things you can meditate upon. There's some leverage we have to begin to talk about. And you can bring that also to the husband and wife, that yes, all that are mine is yours, all that yours is mine. But how do we control? How do we control? Any opinion on what you can do individually, how to make things work? Anybody can give suggestions, because that is practical things on how to do it right now. Anybody has opinion on other things rather than what I just said is general. I want opinions on what you suggest rather than what I just said, which is general things on how mine is done. But how do you control it? How do you organize it? You can make certain changes without me dictating. Anybody have any opinion? Ryan? On that topic? Finances, this husband and wife.
Actually, the way I would have loved to dispel that was, it will come up in one of the messages, you know. So,
oh, yeah, don't agree.
Yeah, so, so we just leave it. But
okay.
The only thing that was short for me not to say is, you look at yourself as one. Okay, the husband and the wife, you look at yourself as one. Even if you have different bank accounts, if you ask me how do we do it, myself and my wife, I come to the table when married, we have a joint account. Okay, so it's always been like that. Okay, so it's never been different. But we know today that, okay, thank you. We know today that are nuptials, right? Right?
Yeah.
People go into prenuptial agreements, you know, and all that, because they fear that they are going to do some things later on. Right? You read it in the papers. That is what they have to fulfill. But when you're talking about Christians, why do people do that? Because people have the fear that something might be coming up later on. Somebody might get greedy. Okay, somebody is a gold digger, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of all those situations. Mm-hmm. But, you see, I cannot completely you know what I'm going to say without going into my message that I have prepared for tonight, so I don't want to go into it. We'll get into it later, but the fact is simply this. As we be able to do it, maybe if we're able to do it, you will see money completely different. I think that is what God has shown me. I've never seen it that way before. I've read the same passages. During the week I was woken up in the night and I kept reading the scriptures and it was completely different. I mean, we need to know the mind of God, which is the Lord. You see, if you see this thing the way God sees it, your mind, your attitude, what you bring into it, what you expect out of it will be completely different. Okay? Today we have situations. Many people don't want to get married. Is that not so? You hear that some people are scared to get married. And it is because, especially in America here, okay, they don't want to get married because of this financial issue. They are scared. Some people have bad credit. Others say this. Some say, well, in my family, this is this. I want to make sure that, you know, some have inhibition from their family. Maybe they are rich or whatever it is, and before somebody else comes into the family or whatever, they want to set limitations. Okay? Trump, you know, whatever. There is nobody going to get to without new productions. You hear of all of these things. Why? Because these guys are not going into it with all their heart. You see, they are not going into it as the way God wants to get it done. And if Christians, that is the way you're looking at it, then it is wrong. Praise to the Lord.
Amen.
Don't go into this thing if you are not totally ready for it. Praise to the Lord.
Amen.
So, I would just say the long and short about it is that you should have a single thought. Praise you the Lord. Praise you the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise you the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I don't know who has that question. Maybe there are practical reasons or whatever or so. I know, you see, it could be that things are more difficult on one side than the other. You understand? It may be that husband's family is well to do, it could be the wife something or whatever. But if you are going to get into marriage the way God wants you to get into it, you have to lose it all. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If you don't give your all into it, you are not going to enjoy it. Okay? You are not going, and potentially you will be in a situation for problems. Because it means you are not totally devoted to this union. You are not devoted, you know, to this house that you are trying to build. If you don't do that, if your mind is not that, that means there are several things you begin to take aside. This is my home. This is yours. Right? And this is what you're saying. This is my home. And when you begin to do that, then you're creating problems, avenues for the devil to come into. And when he gets into it, it will be difficult, you know, to plot the hole. So I would just, whoever has a person, or anyone, of, I don't know whether that people's practice is, but you know, when you don't have, when you are completely given to each other, okay, everybody, when you do it that way, you think it's a total trust. That is what you thought. You think, you know, I was just thinking about this. You know the wedding vows, you know, like you say, at times you say, oh, denominations or whatever. But you go read what that wedding vow says. The people who wrote it, they talked about it. Didn't they? You say, in this, in sickness, in health, in slave poverty, in this, in that, to death, or whatever to us part. They put that there there, and you have to go to the scripture, and it is very scripture. Okay? It is very, very scripture. Those things are true. If your mind, if you're not going to give everything that you've got into this thing, and say what belongs to me is not, in fact, really patience. The patience has to point. Love your wife even as Christ did. And it gave himself. Okay? And what did he do in giving himself? He died. Praise the Lord. That is how, just look at verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as their children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet meditation. That is how much God loves. If you're talking of the love, you know, that God extends between the other, it is so sacrificial that Christ died. Okay? That is how far it goes. Which means, as the Bible says, there is nothing that God has, he that has given us himself, how, what else does he have that will not really give us? You see, the love, the type of thing that God is calling the Christian husband and wife into, you see, end of time and all of that, you know, that we're talking about, it's not so much about bringing lighting and thought or whatever it is down. It is in doing, in getting to the level where God has made the standard of God, so that in all your life, is it the married life, is it the this, is it the that, everything gets, you know, towards, you know, the idea. We've been talking about the idea that God has made them. Praise the Lord. Amen. So if you have anything, husband or wife, be prepared to give it up. And you will enjoy, you will not regret it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, reserve your clapping because the next series of questions are in line with these things. See, those are the, see, that's why it's good that we were having this question series, because like I said earlier, these questions are coming up and say, hey, let's know what is the ideal thing, and then we can say, when you have a loggerhead at home, when you have questions with one another like this, you have something to be referring to. Well, we are not there yet, but at least if we do it this way, maybe we are going towards that note, which is towards the north, the man that sits on the side of the north. Amen? This is the next question. At least this is about this series of questions. So what is the view of God concerning these issues? I will go to the number two, because one I just mentioned is very important, because this is going to be in line with, I said, is it right for the husband to charge credit cards maximally to solve problems in his extended family without confiding in the wife? So you can see how that is related to financing, how you use this finance. Because you just mentioned about why people say nocturnal is mine, is yours. The question of you to come in, you are spending too much, you are not spending enough, you are spending on the wrong thing, and that is where all this question comes from. And this question is, what is the view of God concerning an example like this? Let me first give these two verses, and I'll turn to that. And this next one and the next one almost are in the same direction. The next one also is saying, what is the view of God concerning husband constantly carrying out transactions like financial and social that affect the family gravely without ever discussing or informing the wife about such matters? Now you can see that all of these questions are in the direction of what will be causing conflict in the household. But if we remember all the fruits, all the ideal things, like we can begin to say, this is how we should have applied it. Now, another one said, is the husband right to only satisfy himself without considering the wife's emotional, financial, social, or sexual satisfaction? That's a little bit different from this. And that's the third one. And then the fourth one says, which are all related between these two things. Well, let me describe the fourth one. And let's talk, the only three ones are in the line of transactions, financing, how you handle your money. Because it says, is it mine, is it yours? And we have made that idea like Bradley. But let me give you these two Bible verses, and then I'll open you for further comments. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, we know what that says. That actually, I wrote that for the first question I raised, which is the maximalist to charging credit cards to solve problems in your extended family, which means the man's family or the woman is spending on her own family, that even if they have one post, and if somebody is belong to both of them, and you are misusing it, is what the Bible means. Also, if you are using it, this Bible they say you are misusing it. If you are using it in the wrong Bible, it's misusing. Now you say, well, I'm not misusing it, I'm using it for my family. What does the Bible say about my extended family? That's what Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 should point to us. We are no more other family. God will get out. The Bible says, read chapter 2, verse 24, bro.
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his brother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
So, and Christ actually, also, let's read the second rendering of it in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31.
For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh.
So without too much marriage, too much in that, I believe in many times when people are getting married, they give this warning and that you should be completely separated from that old family, both man and wife. You must say that, well, this is for the man, it's actually for both. You are a new entity, and if you are a new entity, a new unit, you can help. But if you are sitting in my family and you are spending the money in this direction, it's going to cause conflict. And she is spending money in that direction, it's going to cause conflict. I mean, where you are spending money is one thing. How you are even, who's controlling the money is another thing. We're not even talking about, we are talking about here. It's like, I'm thinking you are spending it on your family. I think we just have to find out that, hey, if we are going to spend it, it has to be mutual agreement. If I'm going to say, go ahead and spend on that, go ahead and spend on that. You have to be more sure, agree and say, is it to my family? But the idea of you are still thinking that is your family is, it's not Christian, it's not following the Bible. If you know that you are no more of that family, doesn't mean that you can't help them, but you are not joined to your wife. Your wife is not joined to the man. That is what every counselor will tell you. The in-laws, as we call them, have been a trouble in families, in the new unit, every time in the world, as far as we know. Any other comment on this? Anybody? If I want to say something, good.
I, in terms of finances, just like, you know, I was going to ask that question when you say, both should have one cause. Yes, the thought came to me, like, what if extended family is talking, and what are we going to do in that instance? But in my own, I believe that both should agree. If they need.
And like our brother said, if he's going to go through the wife, there must be communication between the husband and the wife for them to decide and say, okay, go ahead and issue the check. Go ahead and, so we are also people from different backgrounds, remember that. The man may be very economical, Ijebu, if you say. The woman may be very expensive, spending a lot. So, extravagance, thank you, sister. So now you see now, sometimes God pulls those two together. Sometimes God pulls those two opposites together so that there will be a balancing and checking. And there may be some roughing of the edge also, because of balancing and checking is what it is, and there will be some roughing. So you know this happens. This is a practical thing that normally happens in life. So now how do we handle that? We are not there yet. Where the Lord said we will be perfect, communicating perfectly, or obedient, as the Bible said, or submitting, as the Word of God said to the wife, or all of those things. Because we are not there, that's why we have to forge a way of making it happen. And what we are doing here is like trying to forge a way of making it happen. That even though we may go right, go left, but we're still heading towards that goal. That, hey, yes, this is what the Lord said. We should be heading towards the unity. Okay? So whatever way that unity is going to make itself appear, just find a way of finding a communication. And say, what are you going to say? Okay, you do it. Okay, you, like we talked about, one single pause, yeah, truly one single pause, and who is in control of that pause, who controls it more, who is spending too much, that's one of the things going to cause conflict and argument, and the argument part of it, you can cut it down by communication, by exercising all those fruits of the Spirit. and also by listening, because you may come and say, you are spending, how much do you send to that fellow? You told him to spend 100, but I think 100 is too small, you have got to spend 200. And this fellow said, no, I don't think we can afford to. And these are all the things. You don't have to fight on it. Also, you don't want to fight on it. You want to come back to a consensus or lovingly disagreeing, but not beating one another up on that. So those are all the fruits we talk about. What we say, the idea is to bring us to show the fruits of the Spirit we must begin to exercise to make our lives look like the life of Christ. Now let me give you some other Bible verses that also talk on this satisfying one another or satisfying yourself. Like the third question said, is the husband right to only satisfy himself? It's in the same line. Is satisfying himself is by spending on himself alone. That's what perhaps he means by satisfying himself. Without considering his wife's emotional, financial, sexual, every type of satisfaction. We already talked about that in the discussion. Also, that should be spouse-centered. If we are spouse-centered, I mean, I should not be thinking of myself, I should be thinking of my spouse. You should not be thinking of your spouse and vice versa. Then, this is satisfying himself only will not become any nothing. Because I'm thinking of my spouse and she's thinking of her spouse, then it won't be like she's satisfying herself, I'm not satisfying myself. We'll be able to, when we think, if we think that this is towards self, then you can kind of say, nudge one another in the right direction by reading the Bible and discussing it. I wanted to recommend something that Brian Mann suggested, that if after this series, maybe two families that you know you can confide with one another, or three or four, you can actually do, it doesn't have to be formally announced. You can call two or three that you know that me and this brother and that brother, we couples, we really enjoy talking to one another. You can be meeting on this issue when you have issues that are burning in your heart between the two, or even you can hear it between those two couples in your household. You can meet like that.
What I had in mind was, let's make it formal and close, and from there it takes off. Let people recognize who they can relate with and open up to.
Exactly, and it doesn't have to be another church meeting, okay? That is, it could be brother here and brother and sister here with brother and sister B, and they decide that we can be meeting once in a week and just discuss these things that is born in their own family. And you discuss it, and if they have air, let it stay there though. That's my recommendation. I mean, if you know that they are fighting in their household, don't come and be telling brother X or sister Y that. Because that's what you call, what they use, accountability group. Accountability group where you have just two families or three couples and you want to be like a house family, a house fellowship. Let anything you discuss there, because this brother and his wife or this sister and their wife, they are loggers on this topic. What you guys then should be doing is to point yourself in the right direction. Hey, this is what we learn about. This is the idea. How can we work this if they have arguments? Okay, but that should be where they should discuss it, in that two couples or three couples. And then don't bring it to anybody else unless you want to call an elder to come and be part of it. But you can do that with different corners so that it doesn't have to be a whole church somewhere again. Praise the Lord. That's my recommendation. Anybody can start out without even announcing it to any other brethren. Praise the Lord. Now Romans chapter 12 verse 16. This is my own response to this husband trying to satisfy himself or not considering his wife. Some other Bible verses you can meditate on. Romans chapter 12 verse 16. Another person read Philippians chapter 2 verse 2. These are verses that make us to want to be like Christ. And now we read 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 8. In this verse, it simply says, finally, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 says, finally, be ye all of one mind. See, that is a recommendation. If we have one mind, all this idea of his spending on his family and so forth, we are not coming because we have one mind. Okay. So we have to work towards having one mind. It's difficult. I'm not saying we are there. I'm not saying I'm there either. But we need to be working towards that and say, this is what the Bible says. Let us be of one mind. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one to another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. So one mind is exactly what we are talking about. That's the idea. And Romans chapter 12, verse 16, must have said the same thing. Anybody find that?
Verse 16. Of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate.
Okay.
Be not wise in your own.
So he's talking about something, be of the same mind. Now we say, well, he's talking about the church. Yeah, but in the church, you have the couple. In the couple, in the house, also be of one mind. That is, that's our goal, is to be of one mind. Yeah, you get to that issue, you're going to discuss it. You're going to share the word of God together. And it may be difficult, because sometimes when you share the word of God, you may see differently. Even the Bible can be interpreted differently by a husband and a wife. We've seen that even in the church. So we have to strive towards that goal, be of one mind. The same thing he said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Any other comment on this, and we go to the next question. This is the next question, which is also in the last question, really. Is it not proper for both couples to confess one to another all past life relationships or mistakes that occurred before the marriage? I hope you understand, because you say, is it proper, is it not proper for them to confess the other relationships they have had before they were married? Now, I will give some Bible verses, and then I will leave that. Any other person want to comment on that? In fact, I thought I have a Bible verse. But this is what I will say in this one. That is the ideal. That's what I will say. The ideal is to have one mind also. The ideal is to know everything about your spouse. That is the ideal, to know everything about your spouse. That's the idea we want to get to. But even we don't know everything about Christ yet, do we? We know a lot, but not. He said that we are still going to know him. So, but that is the ideal. But you see, there is a vulnerability. The word the Americans use, that you can be vulnerable. But the other thing I wanted to point out is this. Amen? Praise the Lord. What I want to point out is this. When this question is asked and said, is it proper to confess past relationships and mistakes that occurred before the marriage? I believe he's talking about if somebody has been having further previous spouses and so on. You want to confess that. This is the very important thing that I want to point out here before I talk about it, is the fact that if you are born again, if you are saved, now that you are saved, from the time you are saved, you are expected to be what? A new creature. From the time you are saved, you are expected to be a new creature. And the Bible said, God himself said, doesn't know, not that God didn't remember, God said he does not remember. He can choose not to remember your old sins. So if you are a prostitute, trading in prostitution, and you are saved today, God said he washed your sins away. But you remember them, your old customers may even remember you, but God said he put them in the book, in the sea of forgetfulness. You can remind him and say, God, you know, I was there before, you know that. God said, what are you talking about? I didn't remember that. So, but then, what type of life do you want to live? Life of faith or life of still being accused by the devil that you were once an accused, you were once or that. So you have to now decide, do I want to walk by faith and say, I'm a new Christian in Christ Jesus? Or you're going to be walking and say, well, I was that criminal. That's where the vulnerability, the world will say there's vulnerability in that. There was a man that was this is not even between husband and wife. This man, I heard it on a testimony on the radio or something, that he was a pastor, or he's a pastor by this time. But before he became a Christian, right here in Phoenix, he was part of a gang, and they robbed a bank, or robbed somebody and killed somebody. And he escaped and learned his lesson and gave his life to Christ. But after he became a pastor, maybe 10 years, 20 years later, he felt like giving testimony how the Lord delivered him that. And somebody, when he gave that testimony, somebody called the police. And this man went back in jail. Of course, he was thanking God as well. Praise God that he I'm not sure that he was trying to relieve his heart. That was why he gave the testimony. No, it was because it could be foolishness. But sometimes even testimony in the church can even be a danger. The man is, according to the story, he was back in jail because that was an unsolved crime. When they found out, somebody called the police and said, we heard this and that, and the man gave his whole story so clear that they found that it was finished. And the man was no more in Phoenix, he came to somewhere in some other states. But what we are saying, that is vulnerability. And that is what, even this magazine theory that I get to, yeah, that man talk about that. When you that is our, that is the idea, we want to get to that state where we can really expose ourselves. But I don't recommend things that happen before you are saved. But from the time you are saved, you have to be confessing that to the Lord anyway. So after you are saved, anything you do wrong, you ought to be confessing that to the Lord. Not so. Yes. So that is not, we are not talking about that. We are talking about the ones that you have been messed up and you are a criminal, you are in jail. And some people glory themselves, they glorify the devil by saying, you know, I was once one of those drunks, and people say, hey, they clap for them. I say, why are they clapping? And then people say, they wanted me to give my testimony when I went to Germany. I said, I don't have any. They said, well, we know this man, he was a criminal, he was there, and they glory in that he now Christ saved him. But I don't have any. And I feel like, gee, I don't have anything to tell them. And they feel like, but God said, doesn't say you have to tell them some fanciful story of what the devil has done. So forget about those things. But if you want to say, well, if you like, the part that is very important and this thing is, you need to be open-minded to your wife, to your spouse, it's not just wife, to the husband also, and be able to come to that idea. That's the idea state where we can really expose ourselves. That the vulnerability part is this, and but also warn you about that, is that we are still human beings. And because we are human beings, we have not got to that idea yet, it can make you to be vulnerable. The day you guys are fighting is the day you realize that your spouse now bring that weapon that you yourself stole him or her. And now begin to say, I know you did that. It's happening even among Christians. So you may say, but the Bible said that you don't even remember yesterday's fight. Well, some people remember last year and 5 years ago. So that is what, that's the vulnerability, that just because we are not ideal yet. But when we know that this is how we ought to be, let's pursue that while we are still trying to be open. But like I said, another comment? It's welcome. Praise the Lord.
I just wanted to back up a couple of things you said with scriptural that verse again. First, going back to Isaiah 43:18, and in Isaiah 43 it says that the Lord was talking about forgetting about the things that have passed.
Yeah.
You know, and then in that verse 19 it says that I will do a new thing. The new thing that God is talking about is you're forgetting about the adulterous situations of being a murderer and things of that nature. And you can even find the same support out in the New Testament in Philippians 3:13, where it says Apostle Paul was speaking here saying that the brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth for those things which are before. I think if we are able to link these ones up, the wisdom definitely from God will be there. Remember in Romans 8:1 it talks about there's no more condemnation. You know, no more condemnation for those who are in Christ. So at this point we really need to start to gel with being wise, what the brother was just talking about, and so that we are not exposed, because what the devil is looking for is any way, shape, or form to expose our past and put that and dangle that right in our faces, and that will, of course, you know, reduce our faith in the Lord. Thank you, Lord, you should have really shielded me in this situation. But please, we shouldn't forget about Philippians 4:2, where it talks about, you know, brethren to attend the household of faith, trying to, you know, disagreeing and all that stuff. We really need to find ways to come together and understand what the Lord is asking us to do. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Any other comments on this topic? Or any other question? That is the last question in this series. Any other question? Okay, praise the Lord.
We just read a scripture in Galatians cannot be good to survive. Deny the faith. Can you please explain what you mean by saying deny the faith, just for the fact that the man is not able to survive the fast?
Well, that is a verse that is pulled out, and you first to read the earlier verses of that. Praise the Lord. Because he was talking about the widows. He said, if you have a widow, that's your grandpa, your grandma, that you should be ready to provide for them. So, in that earlier verse, it's in line. The verse was part of that. It's part of your family, your widow, your grandma, your mother, on your father's side, on your mother's side, is also part of extended family, part of it. So when, like our sister was saying, extended family, it doesn't mean that we will neglect them, like she said, what is your priority? In this country, in America especially, there are a lot of senior parents that have a serious need, where some people just shove their moms and their dads that are old into the homes and never visit them, and those is another case in itself. But that is part of your extended family. But you see, that is going to become your responsibility. And Apostle Paul is talking about that instead of the church, in those days, the church is taking care of those widows. And he's saying, if a widow has a son that is married there, and instead of the widow now taking from the church is feeding the widow, why don't his son be taking care of your mom? See, that is part of that. That is where we come to the situation that you see just your mom, both the son and the mother. You see, he also, the other widow can have a daughter that is married. So it becomes like we've got to find a way to work together and help even our parents, which is the in-laws. You see. So we come back to the in-laws. That's where the same situation comes in. How do you decide is it our money, or is it his money, or my money? We talked about that before. It's the money of the new unit. But just like you are helping everybody, this is also part of your family first, then your extended family next. But it has to be in agreement. It has to be in a way that it does not cause a conflict. But it's got to be, somebody has to take care of them, not leave it over to the government or to the church. That's why Apostle Paul is saying that the church became responsible for all those older women that have lost their husband. How will they take care of themselves when they have sons? And that's why I've been teaching in America, where they say, well, me and my family, we don't take care of that in-law. You still have to, like I said, you still have to find a way of helping. You got to help. Sometimes it may be like you are taking responsibility for them when they are even living with you. See? But if the problem comes when it's my own mom or her own mom, and they become conflicting one another on that issue, is where you've got to find harmony. You can work out on harmony. If there's unity in this family, husband and wife, they can have the idea that we're talking about. If you're working towards that idea, it will be no problem if they are helping both the mom's side or the father's side, or what do you mean, the wife's side or the husband's side. It will be no problem. It's all part of communication and making harmony in the household. Any other comment on that? Yes.
Well, recently, I brought through some articles on the internet. And they were saying something about people who send money to parents or siblings or family back home in Africa. Because I think it was the new week, something that was posted on the internet and all. I happened to have a question. Some of the questions or some of the things they highlighted was this, that we, let me just say, we Nigerians or we Africans in the diaspora are the ones responsible for siblings, parents, and families back home in Nigeria or in Africa. What we're trying to say on this point was the strain of the process that it brings to people here sending money back home or to help people in Africa. That alone brings a lot of stress upon the people. We all go through different 12-hour, 10-hour or different shifts, people working 16 hours just to make ends meet here. And you find that these same people trying to make ends meet here, they have challenges back home in Nigeria. For example, now, you have a husband and a wife. Both of them are going through challenges. Usually, the husband is working 16 hours, the wife is working 12 hours, and all that. And you have parents or siblings asking for help back home in Nigeria. At this point now, I mean, I'm talking about both the wife here and the husband here, both have needs. I mean, the siblings or the parents have needs back home. Which of these should you attend to first? I mean, we all know that this situation back home is so severe. People are desperately in need of one thing or the other. What aspect of this relationship is going to be helped for before, you know, the husband is working, so that there's no conflict in the family. Which of them are you to help for? The husband's side needs help, the wife's side needs help. Uncles are there, the siblings are there. I have read in the paper some time ago of a Nigerian family in California. This husband or this wife was an errand. She was working abroad off. And this husband now, I don't know if he wasn't doing very well. The wife spent money so much to the detriment of the family in America here. And this man got annoyed. Killed his wife. The man was sent to jail. The Nigerian guy was sent to jail. I read it on the internet also. The Nigerian, an Igbo man, was sent to jail. But if you look at all the different circumstances surrounding the whole situation, you find out that maybe the man was also working, but this woman, just maybe out of trying to satisfy, you know, the family, was just sending everything or most of her earnings back home to Nigeria. And in this situation, what do we do to help, you know, to dampen the fire on this situation? This is just the question.
I think I read that, you know, it may not be exactly the same thing as I said, but I read one that there were responses from people all over Africa.
That's right.
All over Africa, yeah. You know, they were saying about this and that remittances from around here was what was sustaining people.
Yes.
You know, which is true.
Also in Mexico, not only Africa, even Mexicans.
Okay, yes, Mexicans do the same thing. Yeah, that's why.
It's a third world issue.
It's a third world issue or whatever it is. But the question that you're asking is, how can you do this so that you don't destroy your own family?
Exactly.
That's the question.
That's what we have been discussing.
That is what we are discussing. And the whole thing is something that you have to plan as a family together. That is the solution, you know, to that. The reason I was saying when I was mentioning her that the other, the need could be more on one side or the other. But if both of you agree on what you are going to do as a unit, you see, if one says this is my family and I owe everything to them, and they say I don't care whatever you do, that is what causes the problem. Okay? But if you attack the situation as a unit, together in agreement, that is the solution. You give out what you can afford.
What you can afford.
That is it. You do what you can. And another thing, though, is that a lot of our people back home are very greedy also.
Oh, yes.
You won't believe that a lot of the people you are spraying, you're doing everything. I found out when I went home with all the things, you know, that my brothers and sisters, they were dressing much better than I was dressing. And I am doing everything or whatever. So don't just joke because somebody says joke or whatever. You have to pray. In fact, even if you're given in the household of God or given, you just don't do anything because somebody says he has a need. You have, that is what I have found out. I have to pray, and if I don't care what I've got it is, I don't care what, I'm not saying I'm stingy. God knows, you know, but you don't just do things because somebody says I need this anymore. Because people, they try to take advantage of you or whatever it is. You just can't, you know.
Praise
the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you enjoying this?
Amen.
Yeah. Well, since I'm sort of leading fellowship today, I have to manage the time.
Oh, yes, we are almost finished.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know what that is? I'm the pastor of the day. You know, and the Lord is saying, these things are good, amen? Yeah. These things are good. You know, I'm the pastor of the
day. Pastor of the day.
Praise the Lord. If I don't say this, as I forget, it actually is a lie. And by the next time, I won't be able to say because it looks like this is the right time to say. I have a family member back at home, one of my siblings, that, needed support. And at one time, we were spending money every month because they didn't have any job or anything. Then at a particular time, he called, what we normally do is, when we send money home, who sends it to large amount? Who sends it to you? So that, but maybe every month. You know, we're sending very little every month. And with that money, it would be comfortable. So it got to a point that he called and he wanted one beer in a basket. So I said, one beer in a basket. So I said, you know what? They don't pay me 1 year. what I'm giving you is what we get crap from every month to send you somebody. But the number of cars, the 12 months, 7 months, we send you, depends on where you buy a car. So that was the end of it. I don't know if you know it. This guy is taking advantage. So this guy went around, built things around. And I noticed that thing. I just, anytime you call, it happened to be my family member. Anytime he called, it was always an urgency. And he did, this 100,000. I don't have 100,000.
I just saw somebody like that. Everything is urgent.
Then, you know, maybe I can save $100. It's okay, fine, tell you. But you know what? He will wake me up in the night, or anytime he comes to me, but I will not have any peace. I would be having this terrible headache until I send my money. Then I knew this something was wrong. I knew something was wrong. This is not right. I shouldn't be having headache and unrest until I send this person money. I didn't know this boy, this guy was bragging and telling people that he was giving to God. That any time he calls, all you have to do is tell it. Don't tell one for him to call me. That I will send that money. That he has done something. That there's no way I will not say that word. So I thought something was wrong. When somebody came, another person came and told me that, you know, this is one person who's dragging around that. Anytime you pick up his name and call, that you will send that word. So that was it. I said, he called me recently. And he told me what is this amount of money. And he was just trying to get some information. I said, okay, I will look around and have anything, but, you know, we don't have money right now. He said, yeah, well, what do you want me to call him? Immediately, I was already traveled to Lagos to receive the money. Then he called, and said, I'm already here to receive the money. And you know that when he called, I started having that headache again. I started having my mind was, you know, kind of fried up. Kind of confused. So I decided, Lord, you're going to help me. I'm not sending this money. So I told my mother, I talked to that Instagram. So the Lord delivered me. Everything was gone. I praise you, the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm sure if I give the mic to everybody,
we all have all kinds of stories.
Bro, on this topic.
Yeah, we want to definitely pray, let us